glad you're here. We're still in the book of Acts. Got your Bibles? Got your Bibles? All right. Amen. I got a lot of scripture this morning, but I think it'll go pretty fast. This is study number 14 in the book of Acts. It's entitled this morning, When a Church Prays. All of our cleanup and stuff that we were doing and getting rid of some stuff and organizing, well, Susan gave me a little book, and it went right along with where I'd ended or thought I was ended on my study in Acts. And it's actually, we're going to go back to the beginning of Acts. We're going to talk about prayer some more. That's where we were talking about last week, about prayer. And there's been several lessons on prayer in this book of Acts. So it's when a church prays. You stop and think about the early church, the very first Christians, what they accomplished and what they accomplished it with. I mean, they had very little. So with that thought in mind, stop and think what the average church in America depends on today, or even in the world, not necessarily America, but what the average church depends on today. One of the things they depend on is an organization. With that thought in mind, the early church had no constitution. They had no bylaws. I mean, they were just getting started. The churches of today depend on trained leadership. They depend on trained leadership. And one of the scriptures I want to share with you this morning is, I may not give this to Daryl, but in Acts 4:13, where it is talking about these men of the early church. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." So the churches of today depend on leadership. I mean, most churches, there's a lot of churches in America that if you have not went to Bible college, well, they're not going to let you preach. And so today we depend on trained leadership. But as you'll look at this early church, it says they were unlearned and ignorant men. The churches of today depend upon finances. Every church has a budget. But Peter said in chapter 3 of verse 6, he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to thee." A lot of your bigger churches, they depend upon political power. And this time frame here of the early church, they were political enemies of the government. They were arrested, beaten, persecuted, and yet look what they accomplished. What was their secret? What was their secret? They didn't have all these things to depend on. They didn't have an organization. They didn't have trained leadership. They didn't have finances. They didn't have political power. And yet they accomplished all this that we studied in the book of Acts. So what was their secret? What was their secret? It was the Word of God. It was the Spirit of God. And it was prayer. They depended on the Spirit of God. They prayed before the throne of God, and they shared the Word of God. As you look and study the book of Acts, there's over 30 references to prayer in the book of Acts, under all of them under different settings. A lot of people will say that preaching is important, that what says up here is important, how the preacher preaches is important. No, it's not. What's important is the prayer that's behind that preaching, and the prayers that are going out to preachers and to pastors and to teachers and to leaders. Prayer was behind the apostles' preaching in the book of Acts. Paul was a man of prayer. Peter was a man of prayer. And the church believed in prayer. Now, when I say the church, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the believers. That's what makes up the church, born-again Christians. So the local church and its ministry today will rise and fall with the prayer life of the church. You realize that? I don't know if you guys realize it or not, but the things that have been going on in this in Western Grove Bible Church today, I believe there's a movement toward our prayer lives as individuals, not just as a group, but as individuals. And I want to encourage you this morning to continue in that and to continue in praying in groups and continue to pray as individuals. You see, we need to realize that in an organization, in a church, even in a body of Christ, you can have a form of godliness and yet not have any power. Look what 2 Timothy 3, verse 5 tells us. 2 Timothy 3, 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There can be a lot of activity going on. There can be lots of things happening, lots of activity going on, but with very little ministry. Or worse yet, there can appear to be blessings happening in a church, but they don't bring glory to God. If there's a lot of activity and a lot of things going on, but it does not bring glory to God, it's not worth 2 cents. In the book of Acts, it begins with the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And that ascension is when he was taken up into heaven. And then so before he does, he gives a message to the church. And we're going to be in a few verses in the book of Acts. We're going to be in one in Ephesians and one in Mark and Luke. Let's stop right there and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come before you this morning. Father, we just we give you praise, Lord, this morning. And Father, we just thank you for what you have done for us, Lord. And Father, as we take this time to acknowledge your power and your presence in our lives, Father, I just pray for that each and every one of us here this morning would just realize how much you love us, Lord, and just how much you care for us, and that you came and died for someone such as I. And Father, we praise you for that. Father, we thank you for this church, Lord, and that we have come together and the growth that has experienced here. And Father, I just pray that that we would realize that we each have a part in this body of Christ. And Father, that we would realize that you are the head of this body, Lord, and that everything that happens, Lord, and everything that we do should be in direction of you, the head, Lord, and may it bring you glory and honor. And as our ministry goes forth here, may you empower us, Lord, to speak to us this morning. In Christ's holy name, amen. So Jesus was taken up into heaven. It's what they call the ascension. There was a message to the church. Look what it says in Acts 1, verse 11. It says, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And verse 11 says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in the like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He says, so the message of the church is don't stand there gazing into heaven. He's going to come back again. And that's something that we share as a body of Christ, as a body of believers. That message to the church applies today. Don't stand there gazing into heaven. He's coming back. He's going to return again. Everything that happens in the book of Acts, everything that happens in this early church, they do it to the glory of God. And it is based on the ascension of Jesus Christ. It is based on what happened right there. And after that happened, he had promised that after that happens, there was a promise that Jesus made that he would send the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What things was it? It was to receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He told them to wait on the Holy Spirit. You know, and when you think about that promise that was made to send the Holy Spirit, and then can you imagine those people standing there watching Jesus Christ himself slowly go out of sight, and knowing he had made that promise of the Holy Spirit, and knowing he had made that promise that one day he would return in the like manner. It's no wonder that Paul prayed that awesome prayer that he prayed for the Ephesian church. And I'd like to share that with you. In Ephesians 1, starting with verse 17. Listen to this prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Basically, what Paul is saying here in this scripture, he says, I wish you would understand how rich you are and how powerful you are because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ that is the head of the church. Because of Jesus Christ and his ascension that he is enthroned in glory. He says, I wish you could understand how rich and how powerful you are because of that. So how about the authority of the church, the authority of the body of Christ? When you talk about the ascension of Christ and how it relates to the ministry of the church, how it relates to the ministry of this church, especially the prayer ministry of this church. Look what it says in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verse 18 and 20. Now Jesus is about to return to the Father. The ascension is just about to take place. And look what Jesus says to them. And Jesus came and spake to them, verse 18, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you when? Always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus, after this, has said this, is going back to heaven. The church today, this church, this body of Christ, has God's authority. Tells us in verse 18 there that all power is given unto him. All power, all authority is given. When Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, the people were amazed of how he spoke with such authority. The scripture says that he spoke as one having authority. The people were amazed at that. He had the authority to teach. He had the authority to teach the truth. He had the authority to heal people, the authority to cast out demons, to heal disease, and even the authority over death. So, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth in this physical body, but now he is in heaven, the ascension has taken place, he is enthroned in his glory. So what happens now? He's working today on earth through his Holy Spirit. Remember, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. He did this, and that's how he works through the church, through his Spirit. He's the head of that body. He's enthroned in glory, and we are members of that body serving him here on earth. So what authority do we have to say what we say? What authority do we have to do what we do? What authority does someone have to stand up here and preach the Word of God? That authority comes from the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. Three things I want to point out of that scripture there. In verse 18, it says, all authority. Verse 19, all nations. And verse 20, always. Because he has now has a glorified body, because he is in heaven right now, enthroned in glory, because he sent his Holy Spirit, he is able to be with us. He is able to work through us, to go to all nations, to teach, and that's how he is always with us, through the Spirit of God. So the church, the body of Christ, they have that authority, and that authority is based on the ascension of Jesus Christ. And that includes the authority to pray. So how about the church's ministry in Mark chapter 16? Mark 16, verse 19 and 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. Notice what it says in verse 20. And they went forth, and they preached everywhere, the Lord, what? Working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Because our Lord has been received back into heaven, we should go forth. We have that authority to go forth and preach the gospel because of the ascension. Not only just because of the death on the cross, but because of the ascension, the resurrection. That's why the resurrection is so important. The resurrection took place. The death of Christ took place for your sins on the cross. And then the resurrection took place. He had a physical body. And then he ascended back into heaven with a glorified body, enthroned in heaven, sent his Holy Spirit. Now we have that a power that he has given to us through his Spirit. What message do you have to give? What message do you have to go everywhere and preach? Is that Jesus Christ died for the whole world. And that he went back to heaven. And that he is enthroned in glory. And that he's preparing a place for you. And that he sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of you if you'll just accept it. That is the message of the gospel. Now, I want to point out in this passage of scripture in Mark 16:20 that these were the first believers, and when they went, that the Lord worked with them. Now, I want to look at some scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and we're going to compare them. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Are you still with me? Are you still awake? Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Did you get that? You've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then he explains that in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you for what reason? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working through the body of Christ. God is working through believers for his will, for his purpose, for his eternal purposes. The Lord Jesus Christ, he worked for us on the cross. He works in us today by his Spirit, and he works through us to reach the world when we pray and when we obey. Because if we're out here trying to witness to someone and not being led by the Spirit of God, there's not going to be no result. There's not going to be no results that brings glory to God. But when you're being led by the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is telling you to go and speak to someone, God has been dealing with that person, just like we talked about Cornelius and Peter. He's going to hook up two people there together, and he's going to lead you to go and talk to that individual. So we have our authority, we have our ministry, and it comes from the ascension that took place when the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven. We have a Savior who has overcome the world. Do you realize that? God gave him all the power, and he gave that power to us through the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have that same Spirit living inside of you if you are a born-again believer. So where does the church get its energy? Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. We're going to read 50 through 53. It starts out in verse 50, and he led them out. This is Jesus. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And look what they did. And they, verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. What were they waiting for? It tells us in verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high. He was telling them to wait on the Holy Spirit. And that's what they were doing. What were they doing when they were waiting? They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. In other words, they were there, they were praying. So the church's The church gets its energy from the Holy Spirit. And it comes because of the ascension of Jesus Christ. And if you read this passage of Scripture here in Luke, it ends with them waiting for that Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts begins with that same group waiting for the Spirit to come. And how are they waiting? They're waiting in prayer. Now, back to Acts chapter 1. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer. These what? All. That means everybody. That don't mean just a few. They all continued with what? One accord. And what were they doing? They were praying. In prayer and supplication with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. It wasn't just a bunch of men getting together to pray. And this was, it says, women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. There were women and children there too. And we'll talk some more about that next week. So the ascension has taken place. Christ has went back to heaven. He promises to send the Holy Spirit. What is the link between heaven and earth? It's prayer. That's what they're waiting on. They're waiting on the Holy Spirit, and they're there in prayer. There is a link between heaven and earth. When a Christian prays, when you pray, you need to realize that you are claiming that authority that Christ was talking about. Amen? You are claiming that victory. You are claiming that authority that he has given you. When a Christian prays, you're sharing in his ministry. When a Christian prays, you're receiving that divine energy. Do you realize that? Everything that you read in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it comes to pass in this early church when that church is praying. When we meet together to pray, when a church prays, when people are praying individually for the church, things begin to happen. And it's not because of the preacher, because if you're looking at me, it's not. It's because the prayer and the Holy Spirit leading and working in the lives of individuals. Amen? It is the Spirit of God. And that's what's happening in this church. The spiritual growth that is taking place is because people are praying. They're praying for each other. That's why this church is growing spiritually. It's not about numbers. If we pack this place and people are lined up out there in the hallway and there is no spiritual growth, we have not accomplished nothing. Amen? It's about bringing glory to God. It's about eternal purposes. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and the ascension. So the church gets its authority, it gets its ministry, it gets its energy from the ascension of Christ. How about the activity? What activity should be happening? We should be praying. We should be praying. You know, you can hook all these together because of the ascension of Jesus Christ. We have the authority, we have the ministry, we have the energy, and we should be praying because of the ascended Christ. We should be worshiping him, asking him to release his power in us. So by his authority, we might be involved in his ministry. You know, we can get out here and we can work and do this and do that and try to lead people to the Lord, and we will not accomplish anything. But when the Spirit of God gets involved in it, he can accomplish it just like that. Something happens when a church prays. Something happened in this early church in the book of Acts. We are the same body of Christ. And when we pray, we lay hold of that very throne of God. Do you realize that? That when you're praying, you're actually hold of the throne of God through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. And when we pray, that gives us boldness. And when we pray, it gives us love, and it gives us power, and it gives us grace. And when we pray, it lines our will, our lives up with God. See, prayer is not a wish list of things that we pray for. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is to line our will up with His. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize that when a body of Christ prays, that it expands the witness of God and things start happening? I'd like to close. I didn't give you this one, Brother Darrell, but 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. See, there's things that happen that right there. He says, if my people, if they'll humble themselves, if they'll pray, if they'll seek His face, and then if they'll turn. That's what repentance is turning from your sin and turning to Jesus Christ. Next week we're going to continue in this. We're going to talk about who should pray. Who should pray? And we're going to look at some scriptures, and it breaks it down and who should be praying. And I'd encourage you, if you're a young Christian or if you know someone who is a young Christian, invite them to church next Sunday, because they need this message. They need prayer in their life if they're going to grow like God wants them to grow. So invite them. We all need prayer. I encourage you today to pray for each other, to lift each other up in prayer, to try to visualize where everyone is sitting in the pews and pray for each other. Pray for their needs, physical, for their spiritual needs. Lift each other up. Lift the ministry of Jesus Christ up through this body. Pray for me. Pray for me that the word will go forth and that Jesus Christ will be glorified as a result of everything that happens right here. Do you realize that each and every one of you are ministers? That's what the Word of God says. You are all ministers, just like I am. Pray for each other. Lift each other up. Pray together as families. Pick up the phone and pray. Pray with your husband. Pray with your wife. Pray with your children. Let your children hear you pray out loud for them.